Hey friends, welcome back to the Work Your Wealth podcast, the show where we're teaching you how to make smarter choices with your money. I'm your host, Mary Beth Storjahan, certified financial planner and founder of Workable Wealth. So today's episode is actually going to be a solo episode. So you get just me. And we're over 50 episodes in now. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about and that I've been meaning to talk about for quite some time is a unique topic, something that impacts a lot of us, not everybody, but there's a decent handful. And the topic is, brace for it, infertility. So approximately 1 in 8 couples experience some form of infertility issues. You may be thinking, why the heck are we talking about this on a personal finance podcast? But again, this episode and this podcast is about where your money and your life intersect. And infertility and fertility issues are a huge financial roadblock that a lot of us are facing. And with those 1 in 8 couples, actually, you may know or may not know, depending on how long you've been following Workable Wealth and my blog and my story and my practice and what we do here. But my husband and I actually contribute to that statistic. So when Brian and I first got married, Brian was kind of gung-ho to get on the baby-making train right away. And I was a little bit more hesitant and apprehensive. I was focused on some other things like building my career and traveling and, you know, freedom to do all of the things. And it took me a few years to actually come around to the idea of starting a family. And when I did come around and I was finally ready, well, you know, when you have issues, it just doesn't happen, right? So it wasn't happening. And we did the whole like year of trying, the, you know, get drunk, the don't be stressed, the, you know, don't think about it, all of the things, whatever. We followed all of that stuff. And finally, we decided to see if there was an issue and to have some tests run. And to our surprise, there was an issue. So what proceeded was our adventure into the world of fertility treatments and prescriptions and roller coaster hormone rides and came around with an IVF cycle, which ultimately culminated in a pregnancy. And that was how we had Ellie. And that's actually also how we had Luca, our now 3-month, was through that original IVF cycle that we went through. So yeah, we're going to get into details here today. I'm not going to give you all of the details of like the, you know, hormones and emotions and things that can come with it. But when it comes to facing down these treatments and understanding the costs that can come along with them, it's a huge deal. We're talking like people can make a down payment on a home with the amount of money that you can end up putting towards a fertility treatment. So this is an emotional topic. This might not be one that is relevant to your situation. Feel free to listen in to hear some of what we experienced and also what I recommend for clients and for you to do yourselves. But today is basically going to be about what you need to know about your infertility and finances. So I'm not going to go into like the treatments and costs, and obviously every situation is unique. But when it comes to making the decision to start a family, whether it's through fertility or through adoption, there is a financial commitment and a big financial component to it. So understanding the questions through fertility treatments that you need to ask and how you can guard and prepare yourself ahead of time is really important so that you don't go in and derail your financial situation or that you go into this just more educated and level-headed. So first things first is obviously when you find out that there's an issue, you're going to get a referral or a recommendation to consult with an infertility specialist. So the minute you find out there's an issue, you get that referral, that's your cue to pick up the phone and to find out every detail that you possibly can about your health insurance coverage. So step number one is stop, breathe, and call your insurance company and get super comfortable asking questions because you are going to be calling that number a lot probably in the coming months. So questions that you're going to find out is what's covered and what isn't. Are diagnostic tests included in with your insurance? Are prescriptions? Are treatments? Is the consultation with the specialist itself covered? So you're not going to have a lot of details at that point in time to give your insurance provider, because aside from like possibly knowing that part of the issue, you know, whatever the issue is behind the referral, because the tests to come will likely tell you if there are more issues. But making that initial phone call to your insurance company is going to help you understand the amount of coverage that you may or may not have with treatments. So I'll be sure to link to a blog post that I have on this topic as well that will recap a lot of the questions and things that you can ask. So questions are going to be, you know, what procedures require pre-authorization? Does pre-authorization need to be done for each cycle of treatment? And how long does it take to get a pre-authorization? Are there restrictions on the type of healthcare provider who can perform infertility services? So do you have to go to somebody specifically if it is covered? Are there limits to the number of procedures or the maximum dollar limit on benefits? Also, is there a co-payment for medical services? So understanding these things, I know, like, Brian and I are based in California. When we were going through our fertility treatments, we were under TRICARE through the military. Brian now has new coverage through his employer, which we found out certain states actually cover fertility treatments. So it's really interesting to find out what is covered and what isn't covered, depending on where you live and the type of benefits that you have. So it's very important to dig in with your insurance company. So after that, you're going to call the company because you're going to have, like, your initial kind of panic, freak out. You're going to breathe, get as much information as you can on that first phone call. Then you're going to schedule and attend your consultation. So with the consultation, first thing, do not go to your consultation on your own. Bring a friend, bring your spouse, your partner, whoever it is. Bring somebody with you. These are not things that should be attended on your own, because you are going to be so wrapped up in emotions as it is that some of the stuff might not even process. So what Brian and I did was we scheduled our consultation. He came with me, of course, because I would have killed him if he didn't. And we brought a notebook. So I basically sat, I asked all the questions, kind of tried to process, and Brian took the notes. He wrote down dollar amounts, you know, diagnostic stuff, like time frames, basically did a download, because all of that information, like, was so hard to process in the moment. There's no way that you're going to take it all in. So approaching that initial consultation as a team is going to be very, very important, and making sure that whoever you are delegating to take notes is taking copious notes during the meeting. So taking that perspective every time as well. You don't want to attend appointments on your own, especially when they're information gathering or initial diagnostic ones. Make sure that you are bringing somebody with you there to ask questions and get clarification. That's step number two. Bring your partner and a notebook. Step number three. So you're going to have the initial consultation, and then you are going to ask a lot more questions. So the thing that's interesting about fertility clinics is when you go, they actually have a variety of departments that they shuffle you through. So the doctor is going to make medical recommendations, but they're definitely not going to discuss the finances with you, right? That is not their job. They will refer you to the finance department. The nurses and assistants will do a lot of the scheduling and holding appointments, but also do not discuss the finances with you. There's a distinct department for that, and they're going to tell you that repeatedly. So you're going to need to hold your questions around money until you get to the appropriate office. Basically, you can try. I'm a financial planner. Of course, I was trying to figure out, like, the dollar cost in every meeting. They're not going to tell you until the end. So this is, again, where it's incredibly important to ask the doctor about certain questions in regards to your recommended course of treatment. So what specific diagnostic tests are needed? What prescriptions are specifically involved, and the quantities? This will allow you to price check things across different stores and pharmacies. What's the breakdown of steps included in the treatment? How many cycles are being recommended in your treatment plan before another course of action may be needed to be considered? So for example, IUIs, basically that's a way of, like, an easier way. And then there's, like, the IVF stuff, and there's lots of different things. So how many times do you go down one avenue before you are recommended to another avenue? And then what are the next steps if the recommended course doesn't work? So once you have a breakdown of the recommendations, then you're going to sit down with your financial consultant and begin to review the costs. That's where you're going to want to ask about every line item in detail to ensure you have a dollar figure next to each prescription, treatment, and test. And you don't want to worry about obviously crunching the numbers while you're there. You're going to process that when you get home. So this is, again, just an information gathering session. So once you know the recommended course of action that you're going to take initially, again, this is like an initial one because it may or may not work, then you're going to call your insurance company and do the question asking thing again. So I was on the phone a lot with the insurance company. Also, do this with a glass of wine in hand or a cup of tea, whatever works for you. Mine was a glass of wine. So some questions that you're going to ask is there a copayment for drug coverage, and is prior authorization, again, required for these medications? Does the plan cover self-administered? Does the plan cover shots or oral medications? Are there discounts for mail order medications? And what's covered under your current coverage or under any major medical portion? Are there limits to any kind of dollar amounts or numbers of attempts? And if there are no limits, are any portions of the charges covered for prescription medication, laboratory tests, ultrasounds leading up to treatment? So again, I'm going to have these lists in the show notes so you can don't worry about writing these questions down. But there's a lot of questions that you want to ask. And seriously, the best way to keep yourself prepared and rational about this stuff is to create spreadsheets and track the numbers. That is what we did. Like, you need to understand the numbers of what you're committing to here, because it can get pretty big. And understanding like what's negotiable and what's not, it's going to actually give you some control in a process that you feel like you can't control. You can spend with fertility treatments. There's a thousand different options and different things that you can do. You're going to get your recommendations, but even part of that, you can actually set limits on things and negotiate in certain ways for others. So create your spreadsheets if you want to. We did that with our prescriptions for IVF, for example. We actually price shopped. We had three pharmacies in San Diego that were options and recommended. And so we called, we had a list of the prescriptions and the dosage amounts, and we called each pharmacy to see what they charged for each one. And some of them actually gave a 2% discount, I believe, if you paid in cash instead of using a credit card, and like different things. So we actually saved hundreds of dollars by making a few phone calls on the prescriptions. So there's ways to hack the system too when you're doing this, and make sure you're paying attention. So when you have had the recommendation to the consult, and then you've had the consult and you're kind of going through everything, and then you've called the insurance company, like, you have a ton of information. And this is over, you know, a 3 to 4, you know, maybe 8 week process here that you're doing all of these things by the time that you've gotten in for the meeting in itself. And at that point in time, you have a ton of information floating around and you're overwhelmed. And so you're basically worked up, bogged down. And so I usually say, like, take a break, have a drink, drink a tea, wine, take a walk. You need to also get yourself away from it all and clear your mind, because it's easy to kind of just get wrapped up and get even more anxious with everything else going on. So I totally recommend, after that initial data gathering, to pause and breathe and give it a few days to let things settle, because then there's going to be some bigger work in reviewing your overall financial situation. So once you have all the numbers, you know what your insurance company provides and covers, you know what they don't, you know what the dollars are attached to the treatments and the recommended courses of action. From there, you need to review your financial situation. Specifically, questions and things that you need to look at is, what are your current saving account balances? What's your current debt load? What's your budget and areas that you might be able to cut back on to make room for upcoming payments or treatments? And what are the amounts that you're stashing away for other goals like travel or home down payment, etc.? So you need to basically figure out where you're currently standing in these areas. And if you're not the kind of people or person that has a budget in place, now is definitely the time that you need to do that, especially with some of the things that I'm going to tell you in the upcoming areas. So understanding your current financial situation before you go into committing yourself to something that you actually don't know if there's an end in sight, because there are no guarantees, is incredibly important. You have to know where you stand, and you also need to know what your limits are in the spend area. It's really hard to put a cap on, obviously, what you would spend to start a family, right? Because family is such an emotional topic. Creating children, creating life, I mean, that could be something that you've dreamed about forever, is having children, and trying to put a dollar amount on it sounds kind of, you know, like awful, right? That you can't stomach it. But to what point in time do you dig yourself into financial ruin? So you need to know what you're willing to do, what you can do, what you can afford to do, and what cuts and adjustments you're willing to take in terms of goals and spending in other areas. So even recently, you know, some of the things that we can do in talking with other people, I know, you, like, if you're looking to buy a home, maybe you delay that home down payment and you use that money for the fertility treatments so that you can, you know, try to have a family sooner or whatever it is. But you need to, whatever's your personal situation, you need to know what adjustments you're willing to make. So you know your financial situation, it's unique to you, but you need to figure out what you're going to reallocate towards medical payments and treatments. So you have, for even just like the cycle, for total cycles, for the total process or whatever, round one of all of your trying, like, what is the dollar amount? What do you have available? What do you need to save to get there? Or where do you need to pull from? Where do you need to make adjustments? So going forward, what are you willing to trim back on in order to go down this course and make room? Only you can decide that. Obviously, if you wanted to work with a financial planner, they can help to give you some guidance and adjustments on those as well. But you personally need to decide what kind of sacrifices you're willing to make, and also putting that limit on it. Like, for how long are you willing to make that sacrifice? I hate thinking about, like, obviously having faith is a big thing, but if plan A doesn't work out, what's plan B, plan C, and at what point in time do we try to cut it? And one of the things I would even say is like, set your limit that you would cut it at lower. So let's say, for example, like, oh, we only want to spend $10,000. Say that, and then maybe even like have like a little buffer from there too, because sometimes when you get to that $10,000 limit, you're like, oh no, let's throw a little bit more. So give yourself a smaller limit than you're comfortable with. That way you kind of give yourself some wiggle room there to where if you need to spend more, you can, but know your absolute like kind of like spend amount and then go from there. Okay, so now that you know your financial situation, you've kind of prioritized where you can make adjustments, some changes that you're going to make to your personal savings or personal spending, you need to put together a plan, basically. So you need to determine, so how much do you currently have in savings that you can allocate towards payments without wiping out your emergency fund? So as much as this feels like it's an emergency, it is not. This is like a longer term issue. So I would not recommend wiping out your emergency fund for this. If you have a huge amount in your emergency fund and you can pull from it and reduce it, that's another thing. However, do not close out your emergency fund to put everything towards this goal. What areas will you be cutting back on in order to save more for treatments? So again, like targeting specific line items in your spending plan that you are willing to reduce. Another thing that I would recommend, will you open up separate savings accounts to handle all of the expenses and treatments? So if you're saving up for treatments, I would definitely recommend having a separate account that you are putting money into and earmarking it for these expenses. It will also allow you to better track what's being saved and what's being spent. If you don't have the funds on hand to currently cover the costs, will you continue to save and build up your cushion, or will you finance the expenses? So this is a big one, the financing. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But also, should you obtain a second opinion or perhaps shop around for more affordable but still quality care? So those are things, again, like for your situation is personal, it's unique. You decide what's best for you. Some people just want to like jump in with 2 feet and like go for it. But obviously, this is like very sensitive, and you're putting a lot into your body for the most part. So understanding what the options are and if different doctors would recommend different courses of action. So if you don't have the funds on hand to cover the costs, this is a big one. So should you choose to go the financing route, you want to consider, obviously, first, if there's loans that you can get from like a parent or a family member, if that may be feasible or more affordable first. So the thing that I would notice, especially as a financial planner, is your doctor's office is going to have a recommended lender. They actually, so you can go to the doctor and they can help you to finance your fertility treatments as well. So one of the things, as I was digging into this, because it's clearly very personal, as we were looking back into this in 2014 is when we did our fertility treatments. Your doctor's office is going to have a recommended lender, but the thing is, they usually come with higher interest rates than what you'll find elsewhere. And also, it's a little bit, I don't want to say shady, but it can be shady. Like those lenders that your doctors recommend can actually also get, the doctors can get kickbacks from the lenders that they're recommending. So it's not a regulated industry at all. So in terms of like who they're providing, like they're not providing like the best, it's not like a fiduciary thing. They're not providing the best lender for your situation. They keep recommending a lender that just is going to give them a referral fee and they're going to charge you a higher interest. So I would be wary of using the lender that's recommended by your doctor's office, and I would look into other creative options. So you want to shop around for better loan terms on your credit cards, for personal lines of credit from the bank, or consider other creative ways to fund the treatments if you're definitely into borrowing. So obviously, the higher the interest rate, the higher amount that you're going to be tacking on to what you already owe on a 4 or 5 digit number. So doing your research is going to be really important. After that, obviously, like in terms of like fertility, they're no walk in the park. If anybody's been through them who's listening, and you're being forced to spend money, and money that you may have already set aside or may not have set aside, but there's ways to be creative and take advantage of the costs. One of the things that we did was when we were going through IVF was we opened a separate credit card that I think our doctor's office allowed us to put up to $5,000 on a credit card, I think was what it was. And so what we did actually was we opened a separate credit card that we knew we were going to get rewards back on. So we put like the $5,000 on it. And I think we got somewhere between $500 to $1,000 back at that point in time, just in rewards points. So we're like, hey, if we have to go down this road anyways, we might as well get some like travel rewards out of it. So that was one of the ways to do it. So if you have the money on hand, a great thing to do is use the credit card anyways, get the points, transfer the money from your savings account over and pay it down. So then you can actually stock up on enjoying on trips and travel points to enjoy yourself over the stress that you're going to have over the next few months. Setting up the separate savings accounts, doing automatically monthly transfers into the account to make sure that you are saving on a consistent basis, using something like a mint.com and also or like a You Need a Budget. Those will help you to track your spending and also monitor areas that you're trying to cut back on. And in general, like with fertility treatments, like there's questions, there's finances. I guess like the big public service announcement here is be flexible, but know your limits. I've talked to people who have gone like $60,000 to $70,000 to $80,000 into debt trying fertility treatments. And like I said, you can't put a price on starting a family, but as a financial planner, I can't tell you to also just go into the oblivion, right? So it's uncomfortable to talk about what the limit is that you're willing to spend in these areas, but it is a conversation that needs to be had. It needs to be rational because you still have, especially depending on your age, you still have lots of life ahead of you. So if you spend your time in your years throwing all of these resources at this and then create a bigger hole for you to work yourself out of, it's going to be a pretty tough path going forward. So physically, emotionally, financially, like it's exhausting and there's no straight path or guarantees. Like, that's the big thing too, right? About starting a family. There's no guarantees as to what's going to happen. There's no guarantees that you're going to get pregnant and that your kid's going to come out super healthy. Like there's no guarantees when it comes to creating life. And so, I mean, even with Brian and I, like our path led us from like, you know, DIY, try yourself. And then it was like some prescriptions and then we did IUIs and then we had more prescriptions and then I was giving myself shots and then we had IVF. And so like this dollar amount, like this hill is like, just like, you know, imagine this little spreadsheet's like creeping up, right? And then we were flexible. We talked about finances though. And we talked about like the emotional and physical toll also, you know, keep in mind, I was launching Workable Wealth during this time. And I always say, yeah, do it all. Don't do it all at once. Like guys, I think we talked about this in our podcast. Like we did a lot at once and it was not so relaxing, but we had a limit, right? We had a limit, especially from the physical toll, was one round of IVF was it for me. Like if it didn't work, like we were okay. And then we were going to do adoption. Like that was basically it. One round physically, and then we would adopt. And we kind of had some guarantees around like what that dollar amount would look like. And that's what we were okay with for our marriage and our relationship and starting creating a family, building a family route. So that was ours. And we had the conversation about like, what's the limit? What's the other path? Is adoption an option? Are we totally against it? Is, you know, fertility treatments, like those things. We were very open about that. And we felt that we had to be open about that. So it's important to have those conversations. How much is too much money and or too much time spent in these areas? And if a treatment is not working, might be best to take a physical and financial break and circle back when you have the funds built up again. So that's the other thing too, is like, do you take a break and then build up savings again, which is a totally educated and smart option as well. I encourage you to go at it that route as opposed to continuing to like keep throw money at it and not necessarily have the funds on hand to build yourself out of it. So as many things go with your finances, like you shouldn't put all of your eggs in one basket. So while you may want to throw everything you can at this goal, which could work for like a certain period of time, you also can't let it wreak financial havoc on your life. So you need to simultaneously continue saving for retirement and work back into stashing away for your travel fund and taking time to dream and plan for other goals that you have a couple as well, because that's going to be your forever, right? The retirement is still going to come whether you like it or not. Life is still happening around all of these other things. And if you are going through fertility issues or infertility issues, I know you probably sit here and you're like, easy for me to say, right? Like we had two children and then that's kind of what came from our fertility treatment. But I do understand the emotions and the hormones and the everything that can go into all of this. And you trust me, like the emotional side of it, we definitely experienced that. I'm not, you know, pouring that all out here, but there was a lot of tears. There was a lot of reading. There was a lot of self-help. It was a very hard process for me to go through IVF. My body responded poorly to the egg retrieval. There was a lot of stuff that I just did not enjoy. And even pregnancies were very hard for me, carrying kids. And I had a lot of postpartum issues as well. So I understand the issues that can go into creating a family and the fears and the anxieties and the stress. But from a practical standpoint, that's where I'm coming at you today, is from the practical standpoint. While we want to always move with our hearts, our heads do kind of have to prevail a little bit sometimes to make sure that we do stay in line, that we don't run ourselves off track. So if you are paired off, if you happen to have anybody else who is facing down fertility issues, share this podcast with them, share the post for it as well that I'll link to all the questions. There's also a book that was really helpful for me when we were going through this. It's called Bunless Oven. I'll link to that as well. I was interviewed on a podcast probably a couple of years ago to talk about this also. And the podcast is all about fertility treatment. So I will link to that episode and where I share some insight and other things to consider also. But I hope this was helpful. It's definitely a super unique and niche topic. And I think it's just one that is not talked about enough. And it's really hard. It's really hard because a lot of people try to go through it alone. And I think it's a big financial thing, though. And then when it comes to finances, which is also a hard topic, you put these two taboo things together and a lot of people don't know how to respond. And like I said, you see some of this stuff where people, you can really derail your finances. So going in educated, being creative with how you can save for it, be leery of the lenders that these places are going to recommend to you, price shop what you can in terms of the prescriptions. Obviously, don't price shop doctors because you want like quality care. See if there's family members that can help you out. But again, know your limits, know your boundaries, know what your plan B, C, and D are. And I hope that's helpful. We will be back next time with some more interviews, and I'll talk to you all soon. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Work Your Wealth. If 2018 is the year that you want to make smarter choices with your money and you're considering working with a professional, head over to workablewealth.com/contact and schedule your free consultation to see if financial planning is right for you in 2018.